You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. Come to the site. You can look at all the breakdowns of the teams over the offseason. We have the quarterback rankings that went up last week for reality and a lot of other good insight there to get you through the offseason. And here on Locked On Fantasy Football to get you through the offseason, we've been catching up different ways on what teams have done. We've had our division-by-division looks, the reviews and previews going forward, and keeping up to date with also all the news and notes coming out of OTAs and minicamp as the NFL prepares to take a break before training camp. And we're going to continue that look here, and we're going to look at the NFC running back spots throughout the conference in terms of what the backfields are looking like so far, what we know based on the changes this offseason. So specifically backfield focused show here, and we'll cover the AFC on the next show. But when you look at the NFC, a lot of changes here, a lot of excitement, some situations that used to be ugly committees becoming more in hands of one back. We saw a lot of rookies splash on the scene last year, led by Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey, established themselves as key parts of their offenses. So we'll have a few more that do that this year for sure. We'll start, as we do typically on these type of lists, in alphabetical order with the Arizona Cardinals. And this is David Johnson's backfield. Remember, David Johnson was the number one overall pick in fantasy last year? Well, I don't think he's going to be that this year. People are going to be a little bit afraid, but my question is, why wouldn't that be? I think you look at Le'Veon Bell, you look at Ezekiel Elliott and Todd Gurley. I think those guys are probably going to go ahead, but after those guys, you have to look at Johnson here. He's coming off a wrist injury. He's got something else that's kept him out here of practices of late, but all systems go with the other parts, and I think he'll be just fine this year. The concern is the quarterback situation. You might have Sam Bradford in there, which veteran was going to help early. Josh Rosen might be there, but either way, he's a big part of this passing game as a runner and receiver out of the backfield. He's going to be very key and keenly involved because you look at Larry Fitzgerald and the wide receiver question marks after. So David Johnson still returns as an RB1. In terms of who's backing up, we'll have to see. But right now, it would have to favor Elijah Penny. The Atlanta Falcons, you know pretty much what you're getting from them here. They are still about Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman's in a contract here, so we'll see what happens there. They've mixed in some other backs, but I still think it's going to be the Freeman-Coleman show. The question more is Steve Sarkisian is going to use these guys a little bit better. We saw Coleman fade, just more of a flash last year. Kyle Shanahan used these guys perfectly. I would still think this backfield still weighs heavily towards Freeman here in 2018. But pretty much status quo with what we've seen with the Falcons so far. Now, staying in that division by alphabetical order, you have the Carolina Panthers, and the Panthers' backfield is a little different. Jonathan Stewart was released, signed by the Giants. You got C.J. Anderson coming in late after a cut from the Broncos. So C.J. Anderson figures to take over the early down work here with McCaffrey still in that receiving role. Could have a little bit more crossover where McCaffrey sees a little more work in the power running game with North Turner there. They want to set up the downfield pass there, so I could see McCaffrey crossing over a little bit, but Anderson is capable, we know from his days in Denver, of being a workhorse. So I think I look at McCaffrey and Anderson as an equal 1A split here, with McCaffrey getting more work as he did last year in the passing game. Maybe he's seeing a little bit more expansion. So if I had to pick between McCaffrey and Anderson, I go McCaffrey just because the upside and the scoring ability. Anderson was a pretty good runner in Denver, but not always the best finisher. So I could see McCaffrey seeing a bigger role in that area. As for Cameron Artis Payne, Fozzie Whitaker, guys like that, they're just guys, and that's why they went out and got Anderson to really take this backfield forward there with Stewart gone. Now, with the Bears, we were wondering a little bit about Jordan Howard because there were some rumors there with Matt Nagy coming in. Would he change up this backfield? I think you're looking at Jordan Howard. Kareem Hunt was the man there for Nagy in Kansas City. That's not changing. I think they're looking at Howard as a complete back. They're just working different ways to get Tariq Cohen involved. So Cohen could cut in a little bit to Howard's work. We saw that as we thought it might be a split early, but then Howard kind of took over when they realized that Cohen was not the way we wanted to go. We had a conservative coach there in John Fox, so he went really run heavy with the workhorse there in Howard. So I think Howard will be involved, but I think there'll be different ways to get other guys involved in the passing game. So Howard's passing game usage might be not as much because we saw Hunt do that in certain games at high volume, then it kind of curbed off. So it might be game to game, but I think they look at Jordan Howard a lot like Kareem Hunt, and Nagy is realizing that for sure. Now, a team that we have to talk about that is just pretty easy is the Dallas Cowboys. So we know Ezekiel Elliott is going to be back. No suspension, nothing six-game looming here to miss time. He's fine. We're going to see what Tavon Austin does. They want him to be kind of that Lance Dunbar role behind him. So I don't know if he's going to cut too much into Elliott's workload. He can't be a real runner in this offense, so that hampers him already. But Elliott locked and loaded. I think he's right there in the conversation as the top RB1 to take in fantasy. I think Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley a little bit more because they have their consistent work in the passing game. So that could be the tiebreaker there between those guys and Ezekiel Elliott. Hey, we're talking about upside here, and there's definitely ways that if you need help to get it up, there is a product for you. It's called Blue Chew. You can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. That's right, in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, and you know that they work. You can take BlueChew.com tablets any time, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready wherever an opportunity arises, whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no one in comfortable doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness wherever you try to get your tablets. They're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, there's a special deal for Locked On Fantasy Football listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the promo code Locked On. That's the promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Go check it out at BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On. Now let's continue with our look at these backfield situations across the NFC. We've got from Arizona to Dallas. We'll continue with Detroit here next up. Detroit is interesting because you have a couple new additions here. LeGarrette Blount signed as a free agent from the Eagles, and you also have Kerryon Johnson, a guy that they traded up for to draft out of Auburn here. So some options. Amir Abdullah just not getting it done. They didn't change their offense according to their Jim Bob Cooter, so Cooter is very aware of the disappointment Abdullah was in the Jim Caldwell era. So that's not a good start for Abdullah at all because it's not really a fresh start. While Blount and Johnson, fresh approach with Matt Patricia as the head coach. So right now, Theo Riddick still locked into that receiving back role. We know that from Patricia's days with the Patriots. It was James White. I think you look at Riddick pretty much in that role. So he's got the third downs pretty much covered. We know Blunt doesn't catch passes, but he's very good at his power roll, finishing in the red zone. Still can do that as a part-time back here. So right now it looks like Blunt and Riddick. We'll see where Johnson goes, though. He has very high upside. They really like this kid. I think they're tired of just doing the split and kind of telegraphing whether they're running or passing with their backs, depending on who's in the game. So Kerryon Johnson definitely allows that out. We'll see how far they can go with him. Now, the Green Bay Packers, Todd Montgomery, they're talking about different packages for him, getting him more involved. He couldn't stay healthy last year with his first crack at the feature back job. It would be silly for the Packers to involve him too heavily and kind of make him more of a third down kind of hybrid back here. I think that would make a lot more sense. Still giving a lot of action, kind of like in the Duke Johnson vein. So that would make him the attractive back to here to have, especially when you have Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams had their moments last year, filling in for Montgomery at different times. But Williams looked like the better back. He was the better back really from the start there. Jones had his moments, had a 100-yard game as well, but I'd say Williams maybe finishing out of the pecking order here in year two. We'll have to see how that plays out. But for now, it's a little bit messy. It's hard to trust that situation in fantasy, given what happened last year. How it started with Montgomery, went to Jones, ended up with Williams, and then injuries for all three in the process. So it's tough to read in the Packers' backfield, but it's clear that with the new offensive coordinator, they're giving Ty Montgomery another shot here. Los Angeles Rams. You know Todd Gurley is a stud. He's probably going to go first overall in a lot of fantasy drafts this year. The question is who's going to be his backup. They did draft John Kelly from Tennessee, so Malcolm Brown had been the guy. But keep in mind, you're not even considering these guys more than handcuffs. They just don't see very much action here. So I think overall, when you look at Kelly being the only addition and Brown still is the only veteran backup there, that it's going to be a very heavy Gurley affair again, and you would expect that with Sean McVay staying there and seeing the success they had last year in Los Angeles. Now, you look at Minnesota, and a little bit of clarity here as well. Dalvin Cook looks pretty good. Saw some of him and Kirk Cousins connecting there in the passing game. So Dalvin Cook has had a long time to recover from his ACL October. So you look at that timetable ahead of Deshaun Watson, ahead of Carson Wentz in terms of the injury. We saw him run around, look pretty good here. So Dalvin Cook's going to take over. Remember, no more Jerick McKinnon. He's shipped out to San Francisco. The reports are very good about Cook and what he's done. You got Latavius Murray still hanging around, but I think he's going to be an occasional guy that comes in. But they really want Cook to be the workhorse. We saw that last year, hit him that. So at least we have a little bit of track record with him as a rookie, what he was able to do. So Dalvin Cook, all signs are pointing well to him, and I think he's a sneaky RB1 on the back end as we go forward. The Saints, Alvin Kamara is definitely an RB1, and with Mark Ingram having the suspension early, it's only going to boost his value there early. And Ingram will still be involved when he returns. We know that they really like this 1-2 punch, but this Kamara situation, it just got better for him totally, and the rookie of the year is just going to be ready for a lot more this year, and the Saints are not going to be afraid to bump up the volume a little bit, and then when Ingram comes back, control it. But we know Kamara doesn't need too many touches to be an absolute monster with his receiving and scoring prowess. The Giants have changed things up here as well with their backfield. Saquon Barkley, they're hoping he can be like Kamara was last year. So there's just no battle here anymore. This best of what they've had in the past. I mean, some of those guys that departed, Shane Marine, New Orleans, Darkwood, not even there. Paul Perkins is just a guy. Jonathan Stewart, they did sign, but he's just a guy right now. Saquon Barkley is the man here. He has been as good as advertised so far in the early offseason, and that's where the Giants' backfield is going. And Barkley, big role in the passing game. Again, another guy that I'm looking at because of his role as an RB1. When you look at Philadelphia, it's hard to trust Jay Ajayi as an RB1 just because his backfield is crowded. They want to get Corey Clement more work. Darren Sproles was re-signed. They still have other guys hanging around like Wendell Smallwood and Denzel Pumphrey. So We know the Eagles aren't afraid to go three-headed monster. They just lost part of that monster with Blunt leaving, but they did add Sproles, who was hurt early in the year and wasn't a factor in Klebeb. They want to give more touches as well. So J.J. was tough because he would have some big plays receiving. He would have scored occasionally, but really he was the guy for the bulk of the work before the red zone, before third down. They just were very specialized. And Ajayi, that made it really hard to trust him as an RB1, even the transition. So he was more like an RB2. He lost kind of that status for Miami. This situation, I think Clement Keat is going to be a little bit more involved than Sproles. Sproles is 35 years old. So Clement is having a very good offseason so far. And when you look at Sproles, I think he'll have a key role here. We'll have to see how that plays out a little bit between this backfield. But I think J.J., I don't expect suddenly with Blunt gone that they're going to give him all the touches here. He's going to get most of the power touches, and that should help him finish. But remember, Clement also finished in the red zone well last year. So it's going to be a bit frustrating with the J.J. We'll see how it goes. But I think Sproles and Clement could have good value on their own. We're talking a lot about running backs and all around the league we go here at the NFC. The best way to get your beat reports throughout the offseason on a daily, weekly basis, whether it's an NFC team you like or AFC team you like, is with Locked On NFL Network's Team by Team podcast. We've got you covered for all the NFL teams, and now we're full force for the NBA teams before the NBA draft and the MLB season before the All-Star break. So check that all that out. The Locked On Network, whether it's NFL, NBA, or MLB, we've got you covered with convenient listening all throughout the off season. Let's close with the four teams left that we didn't get to in the NFC and look at their backfield situations. San Francisco, you look at Jerick McKinnon. They've said that he wants to be like Devonta Freeman for Kyle Shanahan. So far, he's looked pretty good. They trust him to do a little bit more. They know he can be a capable receiver. But I think you'll see a little bit of Matt Breida fighting for a job there as a change of pace behind McKinnon. But McKinnon is getting every opportunity right now and being treated like a clear-cut starter and feature guy, which he was in Minnesota. He was more of the scat back, change of pace. Well, he is the pace setter here in San Francisco. So that's a clear situation. McKinnon, because of the status, you got to look at him as an RB1, because Breida, as decent as he is, I don't think he's going to cut too much into what we see. We go to the Seahawks. Rashad Penny was drafted, and he's a guy, he's on the radar. I'm going to say RB2 for now because of the competition. He's got Chris Carson, Mike Davis in early downs, CJ Prosize or JD McKissick on third down. So Penny, they want to get a little involved in the passing game, but we have to see that to believe it. They're slowly installing that package for him, but he's going to be more of the early down guy that they've been looking to replace Marshawn Lynch, that power back there. So Chris Carson can make it interesting. We know he was very good before he had the injury last year and went down, and was kind of heartbreaking for that team because he did really well as an undrafted free agent, but no more Thomas Rawls, no more Eddie Lacy. So they trust Carson a lot, so it wouldn't surprise me if Carson gives Penny a little run here there. So I think Penny at most is an RB2 because of his presence of Carson and those two receiving backs. Tampa Bay also has a rookie there, Ronald Jones III. We'll see exactly how much that the Bucs want to work in Ronald Jones. They have Peyton Barber still hanging around, Charles Sims, but Jaquizz Rodgers is a dirt cutter guy there. So Jaquizz Rodgers, I would say it goes too early, but they do want to push Ronald Jones a little bit, and I think Jones could definitely carve out a big role. So I think for now he's an RB3 until we have a little bit more clarity and a bit of a crowded backfield for the Bucs post-Doug Martin. But I would say Jones and his upside, especially if he gets more involved in the passing game, is going to be pretty high here, and a guy that I'm excited to stash on my team, knowing what I know from his practices so far as a rookie and his pedigree from USC. And finally, the Redskins, keeping up the rookie theme of what we've seen in the NFC backfields. The Redskins have Darius Geis. Right now, Rob Kelly has been a little slowed down by injury. Samaje Perine, we know, has been in the doghouse quite a bit. So they're not helping their causes too much here. Geis has surprised this team with his ability to do things in the pass game. We told you about that. If you're listening to our pre-draft shows, that he's a bit underrated in that capacity. People just looked at him as his big bruising back where he couldn't have wiggle to be out there on third downs if needed. I think when you look more for the Redskins, they do have Chris Thompson for those highly specialized situations, but Geis Moore can keep himself on the field on those early downs to create versatility over what Kelly and Perine can do by having that receiving aspect. And that's been apparent, and they're very pleased with Geis. They're a pretty good offensive line. He can run well behind it, no-nonsense type of runner. And I think that's what Jay Gruden likes most about Geis so far, and that's exactly why they drafted him. So there you have it. There's another edition of Locked On Fantasy Football in the books. Thanks for listening to this backfield update across the NFC. We'll get back to you under our next show with a look at the AFC backfield situations coming out of minicamp. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.